Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Hello, Kyle.
Hello.
It's good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Yeah, we're back on Mondays this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a special day for the country. A significant day, no matter where you stand in the political spectrum.
Yeah.
A dramatic change, that's for sure.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out, I think, politically. It's, even the people who disagree, the people who agree with him, with Trump, seem to be ecstatic, and even the people who don't seem nearly as vitriolic as they did last time around. And so I hope things are just evening out this time around. That's what I'm looking for.
Amen. Well, hey, let's pray and
yes.
Get this thing started. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we live in a country where there still is a free election. And Lord, we pray for our nation, and it's changed today as there's been a change of power. And we ask you, Lord, to bless our president and help him, Lord, to listen to you and to follow you. Lord, he's a man. He's not perfect. Nobody is, but we just pray, God, for your hand upon him and on his heart. And Lord, we pray for our nation. And so now, Lord, as we talk about last Sunday, I just ask you for the things that we need to communicate clearly, to talk about the things that would be important to Kyle and to me, but also to our listeners, that you would use us dramatically, Lord, for Jesus' sake, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, Kyle, today we are going to answer the question, how do you become a peacemaker?
I think that applies fairly well to the news of the day as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Becoming a peacemaker, and as we prepped ourselves getting our ideas straightened up here real quick for this, I mentioned that for me in my past life, peacemaker had always been synonymous with military law enforcement, but that's peacekeeper more than, it doesn't quite line up. They're keepers of the peace, instead of a peacemaker.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see where how that flushes out here for this conversation. Right. And one of the things that I caught that you mentioned in the sermon was forgiveness. And I also find that to be, I find it to be a difficult thing sometimes, but I find it to be very applicable to today's news topic with the presidential inauguration. And I think it can be applied to both sides of the issue, no matter where you stand. And I took your advice last week. You mentioned, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. You mentioned a movie, The Forge. And this last week, I watched it with my wife. And then the very next night, I watched it with my children. And it got better the second time. Which was pretty, it was, you know, I knew all the surprises, obviously, but it was great. It was fantastic. A good wholesome movie with a great message and I think the message was different for my wife and I, and then with my kids.
Sure.
But forgiveness was a huge part of that.
You know, and that's a perfect segue into the first beatitude we discussed this week, which was, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You see, forgiveness is, Jesus commanded us to forgive. And forgiveness is not given because somebody deserves forgiving, mm-hmm. being forgiven. That's an act of mercy when we forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. And you say, well, why should we do that? And Jesus is very clear. It's because I did it for you. And, you know, one of the verses that we quoted was, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And so, when we give mercy and we forgive, then we are giving up our right for vengeance. We're giving up any right that we might have to get even. And so we are giving something to someone whether they deserve it or not. And in particular, that is an act of mercy. Now, I always want to clarify something about forgiveness. People often say, well, I've got to forgive and forget. Nowhere does the Bible tell us to forget.
Okay, yep.
And also, people confuse forgiveness with trust.
Right.
The Bible doesn't command us to trust. In fact, it tells us to be cautious of those who would do wicked things. But when we've had wickedness done to us, the Bible says we're to be forgiving toward them. And so that is relinquishing my right to get even, is what I, how one of the ways I define forgiveness. But I do not tell people when I'm in counsel with them, and I'm not a counselor, but I mean when I'm talking with them and trying to help them, that is not the same as trust in somebody. It is not the same as forgetting.
So let's play that out for a second then. Somebody steals my wallet and takes all my money out of it, which wouldn't take very much because there's none in there. But you know, so somebody steals a sum of money from me, and I can forgive them for that. But that doesn't mean I invite them over, I give them the keys to my house and let them stay in the house and, you know, invite them into my life. I don't have to trust them in that way. But I also, as you said, I'm no longer seeking any retribution. I'm not going to get them back.
Well, and you know, you just mentioned something that's a crime.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they can't be prosecuted.
Okay, yes,
And of course, it's not your job to prosecute them. It might be your job to help them, be identifying them as the thieves.
Right.
But the fact is that it's not your job to get vengeance against them. It is your job to forgive them and to release them and let the Lord handle it and then let the judicial system handle it.
Yeah, because being forgiven for something by the victim in this instance does not mean that there's a removal of accountability.
Right.
Right. And I feel like that gets lost a lot of times.
Sure it does. And there's a lot of pain out there that people carry with them that they have nowhere to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying to hold somebody accountable and they can't do it. Listen, when we're unforgiving, there's only one person that hurts. And that's me. Because that unforgiveness breeds bitterness, and bitterness is the cancer of the soul.
And so, to bring that back then to the movie, which you recommended to me, so I have no reservation in saying everybody else should go watch it as well. I gotta figure out how to do this without any major spoilers. The young man in the movie, though, has to forgive his father for abandoning him, essentially. And one of the things they said in there that struck me, I'd never heard before, was you don't forgive someone necessarily because you want to. In fact, you may not want to. And he didn't want to. He didn't want to forgive his father for abandoning him. But he did it because he needed to, because we're called to do that.
I often say something very similar to that. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a decision.
And I think you did say that yesterday, actually.
It is a decision. And it is a decision to be obedient to the Lord. Mm-hmm. It is a decision to protect my own mental health and spiritual health. Because when I forgive and I release, there is an obedience to God, but there's also a healing that can start taking place in my heart for whatever the offense was.
I want to ask him, I want to examine that a little deeper, and I feel like it's kind of a rabbit hole, but I think it's related to, because in that instance, I'll just keep riding with that young man's story in the movie. Man, if my father abandoned me as a child, that forgiveness is hard. And he struggled with it. But if I go I worry that I would go through the motions, but I would still hold on to some of that resentment. Like, I'm trying to forgive. I'm saying I forgive. I'm praying for it. I'm asking God, help me with this. But inside of me, maybe I can't just let go of that.
Okay. Let me say something I hope is profound to you and to people that are listening. And that is, don't leave out the supernatural work of God.
Okay.
When we take the first step of forgiveness, when we make the decision that we are going to do everything we can to forgive and let it go and give up our right to get even or to hold somebody accountable, which pretty well the same thing, that's when the Spirit of God kicks in and supernaturally touches our heart to begin the healing process. Now, that's not to say that it's an instantaneous thing.
That's what I was just thinking, yeah.
You see, I've found that people forgive differently, and I've even found that men forgive different than women. I know it's very different in my house as to how I deal with forgiveness and my wife deals with forgiveness. Now, we both are very much aware of our responsibility before the Lord to do that. But it takes different time periods for both of us, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it's not like you snap your fingers and it's over. And I think that in some point, and it's been this way at times in my life, that we think that our prayers are magic bullets, that all of a sudden everything is completely resolved and worked out the minute we say amen. Now, my salvation, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, was instantaneous. The moment that I surrendered my heart to Him, I was saved. He was my Savior. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, we're praying for emotional healing. We're trying to deal with points of pain in our lives. We're trying to deal with hurts. We're trying to deal with failure, those kind of things. We can receive God's forgiveness or give forgiveness as we need to give to someone else. But our brains then have to be trained to think mm-hmm. correctly. We have to change stinking thinking. And if we don't begin to change stinking thinking, we'll go back to where we were. And we'll pick it up again. So how do you change stinking thinking? You change stinking thinking, I won't say that again, by putting the pure Word of God into your heart and let Him renew your mind with His amazing power.
Well, and that was something we discussed in the Conquer series, too.
Absolutely.
Was that changing those neuro connections, changing the way that your brain functions, it's not painless.
No.
It's not instant.
It has a clear beginning.
Yes.
But it is a process.
It's a path. It's definitely a path to travel. As you were saying that too, I one of the things that caught me, and well, just the thought that entered my mind too was that perhaps one of the biggest issues of forgiveness that people have is forgiving themselves.
Absolutely, I deal with that with people all the time. And you know, people will be blown away by my next statement, and I'm glad you and I are not talking about it right now, because I try to be gentle when I tell people this. Do you know what forgiving yourself is? It's an issue of pride. Because yeah. Down deep, we don't want to admit that we were capable of doing that. And we don't like to admit failure. And so in our pride, I can't forgive myself for that. That's unthinkable, because I did that because I stooped to that level, or because blah, 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 blah. I. What is that? That's all about the self-focus of me. That's pride. That's at the heart of not being able to forgive yourself. And so, listen, we need to accept something. We were born with a sinful nature. We were born with a tendency to sin. And the sooner we get that and understand that and know that we need God's healing, and only by the cross of Jesus Christ and by his sacrificial payment for our sins can we begin to have victory over sin. Until we understand that, we won't be able to forgive ourselves or anybody else.
And looking at forgiving ourselves and whatnot, and I agree with that. I'm struggling with it a little bit, I won't deny, the matter of pride. But you asked another question. I think I feel like this ties together with this. You asked, are you blessed? And then you answered it for everybody. And that yes, you are. And I don't know if it was just the audio, but I failed to hear a resounding amen from Brian Janes, but I'm positive it was there. If he was in the room, it had to have been there. You know, maybe that's one of the things we miss too when we need to forgive ourselves, is realizing we're doing pretty darn good.
Well, the fact that we have God's grace in our life and God's mercy in our lives,
mm-hmm.
we're blessed.
Well, and
that's available to us
as we had other conversations, and there's other things going on. Well, that can be hard to see sometimes.
Oh, sure. Well, and why is that? Because we have a tendency to look at the negative.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to focus on the failure.
And negative things grab our attention hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, if somebody in your family is having medical issues or passes away or you know, you lose your job, all those kind, any of those things, those negative issues occupy a lot of space.
Well, here's a perfect example. If you've got a completely white piece of paper, but there's one black spot on it.
Yep, that's all you can see.
That's all you can see. I mean, you've got this 99.9% white and clean and pure.
Yep.
There's one black spot. What? How did that get there, you know? One imperfection. We stare at that.
All right, so in our own search for purity and being white as snow, what do we do about that black spot on our piece of paper?
Well, we understand, first of all, it is all by His grace, and there is nothing we can do about it in and of ourselves.
Right.
We can't overcome our sin except by the power of Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says that He washed us as white as snow in His own blood. So what do we do about it? How do we gain that purity? The Lord is the only one that cleanses us. And I used as the example, one of the main ways that word katharos, which is where we get cauterize.
Yeah.
To burn a wound, to stop the bleeding. That's one idea. But it means to cleanse. And the primary way, one of the most common ways that word is used in the New Testament is when lepers, people that had leprosy, came to Jesus and asked to be made clean. And there was not a dirtier disease, nor a nasty disease, than a disease of leprosy. So to have their skin made smooth and clean and fresh again after they had been leprous, which nobody wanted to touch, nobody wanted to look at. It was awful.
Yeah.
To have that happen to them and find that cleansing is the picture of what the Lord can do when we humbly come to Him and repent of our sins. He cleanses our heart. And that is a supernatural event.
So, as you discussed, are you blessed? And then you asked, are you walking with God daily? And I'll tell you, I struggle with that sometimes. And it's not even, well, what is it? Now that I started saying that, what is it? It's just remembering. It's making sure that I stay on that path. And the world calls hard some days, and you just start walking off into the field and realize, and then go, whoa, hold on, I got to get back on that path.
You know, Kyle, let's not make it harder than it is. I know sometimes I do too. And yes, we all have those days we wake up and we get out of our routine, if we have a routine, of meeting with God or reading the Word, or we have a crisis suddenly that hits us, you know, and we don't have time, or we have to deal with a crisis, you know, because our house is on fire, so to speak.
Right.
Listen, any man or woman, boy or girl, that comes to God and says, Lord, I need you. Today I have not been in your word, but I want you to know I love you and I need you and I acknowledge you. There's no such thing as the perfect prayer. There's no such a thing as the perfect words. There's such a thing as a humble heart. And now we go all the way back to the beginning when we started
absolutely.
With being blessed. It is blessed are those who are poor in spirit that have a humble heart. And that carries through the entire study of those that are blessed in the Sermon on the Mount. It is about us just simply coming to God. So there you are out in the middle of your day and you realize, oh boy, I've blown it today.
Yep.
Well, what's the antidote to that? Well, I've blown it today, I might as well blow it the rest of the day.
Right. You know? Yeah.
No, of course not. I've blown it and God, please.
Get on track right now.
Me. Yeah, let's. And I miss you, Lord, and I miss that time with you. And boy, when we're tender and humble like that, God loves that. Think of it in light of your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're being belligerent and, yeah, you know, just having a rough day. And if they come to you and say, Daddy, I am so sad because I was ugly today. I mean, what does that do to your heart?
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And we probably don't see that very often, you know, when they realize that. But when they do, it is precious.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's all God wants. I mean, He's made the way for us. He just wants us to have the humble heart that comes to Him acknowledging that we need Him.
Yep. I messed up. I'm sorry. Help me get back on track.
And you know, I mean, it's not like, okay, I messed up then, you forgave me, so I'll go do it again. You know, that's not even a humble heart. That's a rebellious heart that's just manipulating.
Right. And I think kind of falling in line with that too. You mentioned discipline, and I do think that being disciplined about there's a lot to that in my view. Being disciplined about trying to have a daily habit, and I'm not good at that. that's something I struggle with, is getting that daily habit and being disciplined in that, but also being disciplined in my own actions, my own thoughts. And it makes me think of Jocko Willink, discipline equals freedom. That, you know, it's only through my own actions and my own focus on shedding. Last week we talked about slavery and being disciplined to overcome that. Mm-hmm. That's my freedom.
Sure. Well, and I remind you of the word meek.
Right.
Okay. Yep. Meek is strength under control.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of meek, the word meek in the Greek sense, the word for meek, it was referring to a stallion being not broken in spirit, but coming in submission to the owner, to the master. Yesterday, I couldn't help but think of this when you were talking about the process of discipline and the motivation to be disciplined. My father-in-law is one of my greatest supporters and cheerleaders, okay? And he listens to our Sunday morning podcast, our service every week.
Okay.
That our live stream allows him to.
Right.
And but anyway, he was 86 years old yesterday, and I want to honor him.
Fantastic.
For just being the mighty man of God he's been all these years. But when he was younger, when I was first came into the family, after we finished the main course, whatever the meal was, whether it was soup or salad or, you know, fried chicken, whatever it was, there was words that he always said at the end of every meal. Where's the pie? And I used to, because he's always been a relatively trim, fit person. And every meal except breakfast, that was his statement, you know.
Fantastic.
And so years he ate like that. And then one day he went to the doctor and they told him he was pre-diabetic. And if Harold Dorman is anything, he's a disciplined man. And when he heard that, he thought, you know what? I don't want to be a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday he was talking about, he said, yeah, because Deborah, my wife, had asked him if he'd had any birthday cake. He said, you know, and he talked about what they did, something special. He said, but I just don't eat sweets anymore. And you know what? Doctor hadn't said anything about diabetes in a long time.
Fantastic.
So what was his motivation? He came to a threshold where he realized that if he did not change his lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
he was going to be a diabetic. And I think that applies to us spiritually. We have to come to the realization that if we don't change our way of thinking, if we don't change our lifestyle,
absolutely.
Allow God to change our lifestyle, we're not going to like where we're going to be in a year, 5 years, 10 years, or at the end of the journey, whatever that is. So what do I really want? I mean, I decided a few years ago that I want to live with my wife as long as we can till death do us part. But I don't want to just live with her. I want to enjoy life with her. And so I had a choice to continue just kind of existing through life together, are learning to cherish my wife. And I am so glad I made that decision. And so every day I look for a way to cherish my wife. It took a crisis for me to wake up and realize, mm-hmm. if I continue the way I am, then we'll just be roommates. And that's not what I want. Live relationship with her. And so my part in that is to love her unconditionally, but to cherish her. So we make life changes when we come to a crisis, a fork in the road, if you please, and we realize the way we're going, if we see where it's going to end up, and we don't like that, then we make a choice. If we are not willing to make the change, okay, consequences are coming.
Right.
So it's discipline. It's really important.
And it equals freedom.
It does. And it equals, the end result's not always guaranteed, except for the fact that we are going to be pleasing to God and He will bless us.
Well, and you know, so first of all, I gotta ask, if your father-in-law catches the live stream every Sunday, does he get the podcast too?
I doubt it. He's not that technical savvy.
Oh, all right.
But I can put him on it, and we'll see if he'll listen to
okay.
it. I don't know.
Well, you know, hey, he's a featured act here in this one, whether yeah. he knew it or not. But you know, thinking of it, and I clearly have not passed up on pie too many times in my life.
I'm the same boat. Ice cream.
And
together.
And if you got them together, forget about it. The discipline goes out the door when you put them together. But you know, I mean, I have a burden that my mother-in-law makes the finest pie crust I've ever had in my life. And I do not say that flippantly. And she doesn't listen to this podcast, but that I know of anyway. But that pie crust is no joke. And it doesn't matter what she puts in it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And she made two pies this weekend. And I didn't pass up on either one of them. And that wasn't the wisest thing, and you know, it wasn't the best decision I made, but it sure tasted good. but doing what your father-in-law did, that discipline, that's hard. You know, I mean, that passes up something that you enjoy, but how much time did that buy him?
Well, let me tell you what, he's 86 years old.
Yeah.
Sometimes he tunes 5 pianos in one day.
Wow.
He has about 2,000 customers that he tunes their pianos, and I think he tries to get to every one of them about every year and a half or so.
That's amazing.
Now, I don't know if he makes that all the way, but I mean, at 86 years old, he still goes all over the country
yeah.
tuning pianos. And why does he have that kind of health?
Well, and it's not just having great health, but having great health allows you to do those things, allows you to cherish your wife that much longer.
Mm-hmm. Cherish life in general.
And life in general, yeah. You know, and I'm working on that my own self because yeah. I feel like I'm still at a point in my life where small changes can make big differences and big changes can make huge differences for me. He's 86 years old. You know, he probably isn't going to be taking up running triathlons or anything here anytime soon, but passing up pie every now and then is probably a good move for him.
Absolutely.
You know, as it is for all of us.
Absolutely.
Darn it. why can't it be healthy for us?
That's right. Well, now, and circling back, blessed are
yeah.
the pure in heart. And to have that purity in our lives, we do have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that we're going to allow the Lord to purify our hearts, but also that we're going to put the right things in our heart,
mm-hmm.
which, boy, there again, we come back to the Word of God. And don't forget what the result of that is. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, Kyle, I said this in the sermon yesterday, and it's so important that people hear this. Most Christians you meet will say, I don't hear from God. I don't know how to hear from God. And there are things that I can teach you or that you can be taught, someone else can teach you, about learning how to hear from God and to proverbially see the Lord in life. But there's a decision that has to be made. There's a discipline that has to be grasped, and that is, I am going to allow the Lord to cleanse my heart, and I'm going to deal with the junk in my life. And if you're not willing to deal with the junk in your life, if you're not willing to come to the Lord and repent of your sin and seek His forgiveness, you're never going to see God.
Would it be fair to say that if I don't hear God, it's not because He's not saying something?
It's a pretty good chance. Yeah.
It's probably the man in the mirror that's got to do some changing.
Yeah, well, it may be that he said something and he's waiting for you to hear that before he's going to say something else.
Fair enough. So as we look down our Beatitudes here, we've had the poor in spirit, the humble, those who mourn, who see their sin.
Right.
And want to do away with it. The meek, strength under control.
Mm-hmm.
And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that righteousness, that's Jesus.
Yep.
So people who hunger and thirst for Jesus. Blessed are the merciful. The pure of heart we just talked about. And then that leads us to peacemakers, which is our question of the day. And as we mentioned at the beginning, I think I made this too complicated my whole life. And the peacemakers are people who make peace. it's not any harder than that, but I think there is more to it.
You know, a lot of people make the Christian life all about who knows the most about the Bible. That's their definition of Christian maturity. Now listen, I've said several times today already that we need to be in the Word. But why do we need to be in the Word, and what do we need to be looking in the Word for? Do we need to be looking in the Word to find out, to prove what Jesus said we can't prove, that we're going to find the day and the hour that Jesus is coming again? Where we are in the prophetic, it's not wrong to study those things, but if that's your purpose for getting in the Word every day, you're missing it. Because you see, the purpose of getting in the Word is that we might see God, so that we might know more about God. And then there'll be changes in our lives. When my wife and I began to discuss this whole process, you see, I believe that the peacemaker part is last for a reason. Mm-hmm. I think it's last. I mean, there is one more thing we want to talk about next week that's also a result. But I think the peacemaker is a result of everything else we've talked about. And that if we're in the process of walking through the poor in spirit, the mourning, the meekness, all those things, then the result is going to be that we will naturally become peacemakers in the lives of other people. And so as Deb and I were talking about that last night, I said, Deb, who are the people in your life that when I say the word peacemaker, their name comes to your mind? And I won't start naming names. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But, you know, there's this one couple that's our mentors, mine and Deborah's mentors. And they used to go to this church, and now they go a different place. And some people might guess who they are because we've heard us talk about them. But these two people, it's not like they're the greatest theologians that ever walked. But oh my goodness, their practical everyday Christianity, their walk with Jesus, their love for God is off the charts. And their wisdom and love for me and my wife is unbelievable. I mean, they love us so much. And every time we're around them, we know this incredible, we just are wrapped up in this constant, emotionally warm hug. Mm. And we feel like that we're the most important people on earth. they are peacemakers.
That's a that is a skill that I aspire to.
Well, and I wouldn't call it a skill. It's a result.
Yeah.
It's a result of living life being blessed by God.
To be around, to bring up other people who you're around. It's a challenge, really. Mm-hmm. It's challenging.
Well, and there's been a time that Deb and I have met with them. And, you know, we're going through a lot of turmoil. We're having a difficult time in the church. We're concerned about somebody in our family. And we go spend time with them, and they just kind of absorb that. And you leave there thinking, wow, we might make this. Mm. We might survive this. And that brings peace to our heart.
And
comfort to us.
I admit, I aspire. I said that. I meant it, though. I do aspire to be that kind of an influence on folks, on people I come into contact with. And so what I'm gathering, though, of the peacemaker is that as I try to humble myself, as I mourn my own sin, as I work on these things and try and make these part of who I am, hunger and thirst for Jesus, the natural consequence of weaving those things into my own character and my daily life is to be a maker of peace.
Well, you think if you have all those other blessings,
mm-hmm.
yours is the kingdom of God. You are inheriting the earth. You can see God.
Mm.
You are merciful. If you're blessed in all those ways, you're going to have so much blessing in your life, you're going to be oozing out blessing on others, which makes you a peacemaker.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have... That's an interesting way of looking at these Beatitudes, too, I think, is to look at the second line. If I fulfill the first line, I will have the kingdom of heaven. I will be comforted. I will inherit the earth. I will be filled. I will be shown mercy.
I'll see God. And you see, a lot of Christians today are trying to serve God with a cup that's half empty, or maybe three quarters empty, or maybe three fourths empty, or, you know, full. God wants us to serve out of the overflow. Well, how does my cup overflow? My cup overflows when I'm filled with God.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not going to the Word and getting my filling of the Lord and seeing His greatness, then I can't serve out of the overflow. I'm serving out of what's in my cup, not what's spilling out. And I want to be, I mean, when God starts filling a person, when God starts being their life, man, I tell you what, some love's going to splash out on somebody. some mercy's going to splash out on somebody.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Isn't that a beautiful picture?
It is, it is. And you know, I've looked over the Beatitudes many times over the years, and that's, I like this new way of looking at it.
You know, I do too.
Run down the list, and then that second line. You know, if you take care of the first, man, that second comes to at you. That is a cup overflowing for sure.
And that is the answer to our first question: how do I become a peacemaker? Get the overflow that God has for you as you learn to live out the Beatitudes.
And share it with, I mean, you can't help but share it with everyone then. It's overflowing.
When it's overflowing, it's overflowing. It's oozing out.
Yeah. What do we have to look forward to next week?
Next week, we're going to do the last blessed, and it's a blessing that most folks think is not a blessing. And So I'll just encourage you to read Matthew 5 if you want to know the answer to that.
Okay.
Or come next Sunday to Majestic View Church and join us.
And it'll be told to us.
And we'll tell you about it.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I will look forward to that. I'll be here, and hopefully we will have above zero temperatures.
There you go. And not slick roads, right?
And less slick roads. The roads are pretty good already.
Yeah.
But boy, it's still chilly out there. So
that's right.
All right. Well, until next week.
All right, Kyle.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, bro.